The Newsmakers continues on 1400 KJFF. We are joined in studio by a congressman who is running in the 8th District of Missouri. He is from Hillsboro. It is Franklin Delano Roth II. Good to see you. How are you?
Well, thanks. I'm glad to be here. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you coming in. And lo and behold, we have somebody from the county that is running for Congress. How about that? It's been a few years for that.
Yeah. Kathy Ellis, I think, was the last to run. She's from Festus. But yeah, I live just east of Hillsboro. Because I lived in Hillsboro, I'd be in the 3rd District.
If you're in the city limits, I guess.
If you're within the city limits, yes.
But being from the outside of the city limits, you fall into District Number 8.
Yeah, far enough east. Mm-hmm. I'm within probably a half mile of the line, so very close.
You are running as a Democrat.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, your background, where you growing up. You haven't always been a Missouri or Hillsboro area resident, have you?
No, I was born and raised in southern Indiana. My mom and dad we didn't have family that farmed. My grandparents didn't farm, I know that, but my dad always wanted to farm. So he and mom saved their money and bought some machinery and rented some land and started farming. And unfortunately, dad got sick, almost died, and of course, insurance didn't pay what it should, and they lost everything. And then a few years later, he got a good union job when he went back to work, and they saved their money again, bought another farm, and that's how we got started farming. But so I was basically, from the time I was 10 or 11 years old, raised on the farm. And then after college, I went into farming with dad, and we farmed together for 26 years. Typical Midwestern crops, corn, soybeans, wheat. We ran trucks. We had a little trucking business, things like that. My college background is teaching. I have a history degree, so I can teach high school history. I have two sons. Well, I had two sons. My oldest son I raised as a single parent. I lost him to a heroin fentanyl overdose 4 years ago, as a lot of people have. Unfortunately, it's a kind of a scourge in our society, but one hopefully that I can address when I get to Congress. And I have another son, Clay. He is a top 40 radio DJ in Evansville, Indiana. So he is in the business that you guys are in. Moved to Jefferson County 19 years ago, I guess. I had been dating a girl, Sandy Cox was what she was known by. Her maiden name was Montgomery. She's from Crystal City, graduated Crystal City. I had been dating her for 6 years. She did most of the driving because I was farming a bunch of ground and trucking and raising a son on my own, so she did most of the traveling. After I made the decision, my dad retired, I made the decision to get out of farming. I had made the decision to move here. Since here, I've worked for Monsanto and I've worked for Land O'Lakes. You know, my background was ag, obviously, with farming all those years. And then ended up retiring as a truck driver for Estes Express Lines out of their Fenton terminal. So that's what I've done since I've been here. And I retired in December of 2022.
Okay. So I was kind of curious what led you to coming this direction, and you explained it.
Right.
It was a relationship and such.
Right, we like I said, we dated 6 years long distance. And when Dad retired, I had made the decision to get out of farming. Neither one of my kids were interested in it. And I was sort of burnt out on it. And I'd lost a big portion of ground. I had a landlord that sold out, which basically was about half my ground, and it was very competitive trying to rent land and all that. So I just made the decision to get out, and if I wanted to continue a relationship with Sandy, I was going to have to move here, and so that's what I did.
Then farming this day and age is kind of difficult, isn't it?
It's tough.
It's tough. Yeah, I mean, it's always been tough, but it seems like it's tougher now than it certainly was, you know, 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah, it's for, when I made the decision to get into farming back in the 70s, farming was great. Things were really good, and then in 1980, things just fell apart, and naturally when I got in, and I remember interest rates got up to 16-17%. That's tough when you're starting out. But we survived it and went on and all that, but it was just that we lived in an area where it seemed like we had a lot of drought issues. Prices seemed like were always a problem. And I got tired of it. I thought, you know, it seems like it's, you know, two steps forward and three back sometimes. And I just got tired of that. And like I said, my kids weren't interested in it. I didn't really want them interested in it because it was so tough and so difficult, so much work. And so I made a decision to get out.
Yeah, a lot of times you're just about breaking even, it seems,
in that industry. Some years I was hoping just to break even.
Right. Yeah, tough go.
Yeah.
Right.
So I just, with the weather and the prices and all that, there's just so much. And there's so much work involved with it, especially the way we did it. My dad and I were farming 3,000 acres, just two of us. We hired no help. And like I said, we ran trucks as well. And it was just constant work. And I remember Sandy told me when we first met, she said, you know, you don't have to work this hard. And she was right. You don't. But you know what? It laid a good foundation for me, especially deciding to run for Congress, because there's 28 counties in this district, and it's a lot of driving, a lot of work. I mean, there's some mornings I leave at 5:30 and get home 11, 12 o'clock at night. So those hours don't bother me because I'm used to that. That's the way we worked on the farm. So it was a good foundation, I guess, for this run for Congress.
What made you decide, I'm going to give it a shot, I'm going to go for this?
Go for it. Well, I don't like what I see either in the state. I don't like what I see at the federal level. I mean, we've become so polarized and so I can't even find the words to describe what our political climate is now, like with the shooting this weekend, the attempted assassination on former President Trump. And I'll make clear, I didn't support him. I don't support him. I don't like him particularly as a man, but I don't want the man assassinated. I want him defeated. Okay, that's where I'm coming from. And it's just, we've gotten to the point where people if it had been turned around and Biden had been the one shot, there'd been people cheering in the streets. I'm sure there are some Democrats that are cheering, wishing that, you know, the bullet would have been a little 2 inches to the right. And it's a shame we've let ourselves get to this point where we hate somebody bad enough that we wish them dead. And it's just, you know, how'd we get here?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I don't agree with anything he wanted. I don't agree with him. I don't like him as a man. But, wishing somebody dead over that is over political differences. I mean, there's families that don't speak anymore. There's friends that have lost friendships because of, you know, politics and all that. And it's just, you know, we need to get back where it used to be, where we, you know, we could argue politics and disagree, you know, and still have a beer together, still be friends once it was over with. But it seems like we've kind of lost that we had years ago. And we need to get back to that. I mean, we need to be able to disagree on things and still remain friends and remain civil. But now it's like just any little thing, you know, they're calling for blood. If you don't agree with me, you're a traitor, you're a communist, you're this, you're that. And we need to get away from that. I mean, it's just nothing good is accomplished with that. And it's, you see it in Congress. You see it in Jefferson City. Even people that are members of the same party, it's my way or the highway. And politics can't work like that. No one party is going to have total control of everything. And it's just, you're going to have to work together to get something done. If you want to do something, which is what you're supposed to be in Congress or state legislature, is to get something done that helps people. And if you're going to do that, you're going to have to reach across the aisle and work with people that you may not agree with on a lot of issues, but somewhere you find some middle ground and do what's best for the people that sent you there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to do.
Yeah, it just seems like there's not enough compromise out there.
There's everything. It's almost no compromise.
Furthest from it.
Right. Right.
Right now.
Like I said,
at all levels.
Yeah. If you even talk about working with somebody across the aisle, like I said, you're labeled a rhino or a, you know, whatever. Democrats are the same way. It's just, you know, you can't work with the other side. Well, if we want anything done for the country, we're going to have to. We're going to have to put aside some differences and work and do what's best for people. I mean, we've just gotten to the point where nothing matters except voting straight party line, and nothing is going to get done that way. And that's,
right.
We saw that in Jefferson City this year. They had the fewest bills passed in how many years because, one, it was a very hardcore right-wing group of Republicans that held up a lot of the things that wanted, it has to be my way. And you have the same thing in U.S. Congress. You have the conservative caucus there that's the same way. If I don't get my way on everything, we're going to shut the government down. We're going to blow it all up. Well, if you shut the government down, what, you know, who does that help? I mean, how many people are going to get hurt from something like that? But it's like they just don't care. They're in gerrymandered districts, so they're safe, except from a primary opponent. And it's like, well, let's just blow it up. I don't care. And that's no way to govern. It's just not.
I guess, is there only one opponent for you in the primary?
Yeah, I have an opponent. She ran the last time. She was the sole Democrat to run. Mm-hmm. And she didn't do very well. And I had people approach me this past summer and fall and ask me if I'd be interested in running. And since I had retired and I had the time to devote to it, I wouldn't be doing this if I was still working. Because, one, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to go 100 to nothing to get it done. I'm going to put everything all in, and I couldn't do that if I was working or I had family, had kids,
course,
or anything
right.
like that that diverted my attention from it. And I don't have that now. So,
and you didn't have a background in politics up to this point, have you?
As I said, my college background is history and political science. So the interest has always been, my dad was never involved in politics, but he's always very interested in it. And like I said, he and friends would sit around, talk politics all the time. And I remember sitting around listening to him from a very young age, 7, 8 years old, and listening to these guys talk politics. And I was always interested in reading about politics. Of course, I was always reading about history. So that's where the interest comes in. And I'd had people approach me over the years to run for something and all that. And I just, like I said, I couldn't devote the time to it, especially when I was farming. I mean, literally worked around the clock a big part of the year. So I didn't have time. But since I retired, I just thought about it. And like I said, I didn't like the way things are going. I think we could have better representation in the 8th District than what we have. We have a congressman that has voted against a lot of things that will help this district, like the infrastructure bill, which is helping fund the construction on I-55, and this county, Jefferson County, got over $200 million from the infrastructure bill for that kind of construction. Perry County received over $120 million. That's construction of the bridge, new bridge going in. So, and every county got some. We need more, obviously. But, you know, Jason Smith voted against that. And even if you disagree with something, I mean, how can you not vote for something that's going to bring that kind of money, jobs and all that's going to fund a lot of jobs, good union jobs? How do you vote against something like that? He voted against the CHIPS and Science Act, which was bringing chip manufacturing back to this country, possibly could have had a factory built in the 8th District somewhere. I mean, we're in a great location. We're in the middle of the country. We have the river. We have major railroads. We have major interstates. Like I said, we're in a perfect place to have manufacturing come in, but voted against it. And I don't understand it at all. I don't get it.
You, of course, are located on the very northern edge, so to speak, of the entire 8th District.
Right.
How difficult is it to try to get the word out and try to get out there and travel the immense amount of mileage in the territory of the 8th District? Because let's face it, it goes all the way to Arkansas, and it goes about halfway across the southern part of the state.
Right, right. Yeah, it involves everything in the Boot Hill to the Arkansas border, across the Arkansas border to Ozark County and Douglas and Wright counties on the very far western edge, which is almost to Branson and Springfield. It includes Rolla and just about everything in between. So it's a very large district, and like I said, I'm the farthest point from everything here where we are. But I do a lot of driving. I try to be, I try to schedule things out every week. I see where I'm going. I have meetings, and I will try to schedule a radio interview or a newspaper interview, something like that. I go to a lot of chambers meetings. Of course, a lot of Democrat committee meetings, things like that. Any other events, I've participated in some Farm Bureau Meet the Candidate events. Participated in an event over the weekend in Rolla, Stump Picnic. It's a big deal there. Many other events like that around the district. I try to make it to as many as I can. And, of course, there's conflict. Always, there's a couple things going on at the same time, so you have to pick or choose. But it involves a lot of driving. So I was asked at the Stump Picnic this weekend, well, how many miles have you put on since you started this? And I started really the first part of October, and it's somewhere between 35,000 and 40,000 miles I put on, which is a lot of miles. But that's what you do. I don't have a lot of money. We've been fortunate. We brought in more money than I thought we would, which is allowing us to get some advertising going. The one thing I can do is I can drive and I can talk to people. And since I was an unknown quantity, That's the best way for me to get my message and my name out there is people actually see me. It's funny because, you know, I dress Western. I've been wearing a cowboy hat for 40 years and boots and belt buckle the whole nine yards. So a lot of people see me and they think I'm a Republican. They're kind of surprised that I'm a Democrat just by my politics. But it's funny, they will listen. You know, and then sometimes they find out you're a Democrat. Well, I don't vote for Democrats, but but you liked my message. You know, yeah, I like some of the things you have to say. So we got to get past that. You know, this label or that label, and like I said, a lot of people, what I have to say resonates with people. I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be interesting come August, and that's just step number one, as we
right,
know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You feel pretty good about where you stand right now?
I do. I've gotten a lot of support from people. It's just I reached out to a lot of the people that are big in Democrat Party in this part of the world, and I've gotten a lot of support from them. So I feel really good. Like I said, I've been in every county, many of them multiple times. I've spoken with a lot of people, Democrats and Republicans, and have had good responses. I mean, you're going to have people that won't ever vote for you just simply because you're a Democrat. You know, they're that tied in, and that's fine. I mean, everybody's entitled to their own opinion and all that. But I've had good response and a lot of support, and I feel real good about my chances come August 6th.
So. And here we are, just a couple of weeks away. I mean, how busy is your schedule going to be over the next 3 weeks?
Crazy. I'm supposed to be in Kennett this evening, so. That just gives you an idea. Next is, I can't even remember now, I'd have to look at my calendar, it may be this week. In fact, I think it is this week. I have an event in Sykeston, then I have to drive from Sykeston all the way over to Texas County, Houston, for an event there, and then back. So, I mean, there's days I drive 500, 550 miles.
I'm surprised not more.
I know it.
Man.
Just a lot of driving.
Sure. Well, you got to, and I guess you have that background of being a truck driver, you have no choice but to at least enjoy a part of it.
Yeah, I do enjoy driving because I don't care how many times you drive a road, you'll always see something new and different. But I like a lot of times if I'm in West Plains or somewhere like that, I will cut back through Carter County and Reynolds County, places like that, Iron County, and it's beautiful country. Just narrow two-lane roads. Better on a motorcycle than a pickup truck, but just beautiful. And it's a lot of places you don't get cell service. You drive for an hour, hour and a half, and don't have cell phone service, which is not always a bad thing. But it's a beautiful country. It really is. It's fun to drive.
Did you at one point consider running for an office that was, you know, more county-based or state-based or something like that?
Yeah, I've had that question a lot. Yeah. So, why jump in and run for Congress? Well, I guess the short answer to that would be I'm 66 years old, and if I was 20 years younger, that's probably what I would have done. I'd start in at a local level, maybe even a school board or county council or commissioner or something on a local level, even state rep. But I'm not going to be in this for that many years, and I thought, you know what? And my interest has always been national and international politics. That's what I really, really like and really enjoy. And I thought, you know, if you're going to do it, just go ahead and jump in at this level and go from there. Like I said, I've always been really tuned into politics. I know issues inside and out because I've studied them forever and ever and ever. So that's why I made the decision to go ahead and run for Congress instead of a lower office.
Sure. Yeah. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things you would like to see done if elected in terms of, at least helping to get some things accomplished and that kind of thing, being a part of something good?
Right. Yeah. Well, one of my very biggest issues is I want single-payer Medicare for all. We're the only country, industrialized country or developed country, however you want to tag it, that doesn't have it. Does that mean it's perfect in every country? No. But we're the only country that bankrupts citizens over health care. We're the only ones that does that. And of all the developed countries, we sit at the bottom of most health care issues. I mean, we have the higher infant mortality rate. We have the highest obesity rates. We have it goes on and on when it comes to health care. And it doesn't have to be that way. A third of our costs go to administrative costs to the insurance companies. Let CEO pay, shareholder pay, you know, all this, it all comes into it. And, you know, we allow insurance companies to dictate who we can see, what treatments we get. I mean, there's a jar on the counter at the local bank here where I bank. It's a fundraiser for a little girl that needs a cancer treatment. That's healthcare in this country. And there's a five-year-old boy in Oregon County that needs a skin cancer treatment. The insurance won't pay for it. They have a GoFundMe page. They're having benefits for him and all this stuff. That's healthcare in this country. And it doesn't have to be that way, and it shouldn't be that way. We have people that ration medications like insulin because they can't afford it. Okay, do I take all my insulin this week, or do I pay the rent? Or do I buy groceries? And that's just, to me, it's tragedy that we allow that in the richest country in the world when it doesn't have to be that way. I was at a labor meeting last week, and there was a guy there, Republican, that was running for an office, and he had the story that he and his wife were in the Czech Republic a year or two ago, and his wife got very sick. They had to go to a hospital. They didn't pay a dime. They're foreigners and didn't pay anything, while people that live in this country and pay taxes in this country can't get the health care they need. And it's just ridiculous to me that we allow it. Another thing I want to go back to a tax system that is fair, that where we tax the billionaires. That we have, in the last 40 years, we've transferred $50 trillion worth of wealth from the bottom 90% of our population to the top 1%. I mean, we have people that are worth more than some countries now. They fund their own space program. We can't even fund our own as a government. We have to hire the Russians to haul us to the space station and back. And it just shouldn't be. But I don't want to tax people into the ground. But if you look back when we built the interstate system and we were, you know, had our space program and all that, we had an increasing incrementing tax level, you know, up to 80-90% at the very top of the income levels. You know, now they're not being taxed 90% on all their income. It only reaches that, you know, when they get to a certain $20-$40 million of income. So, but we need to get back to something like that, because that's why we haven't been able to fund improvements to our infrastructure. We need more interstates. I mean, new ones built in some places. Try to drive from here to Des Moines, Iowa. You know, there's no interstate there. You know, there's places that we need them. We need to expand interstates to three lanes, most of them. We are on I-70 now from St. Louis to Kansas City, but there are many interstates that need to be expanded like that. I mean, I know I have, and many other people, if you travel interstates at all, you get behind a truck that's passing another one, and he's running a mile an hour faster, and you take 10 miles to get around him. If you put that third lane in, you know, traffic moves much smoother when you do that. So those are the things we could fund if we'd go back to taxing the people that actually make all the money. And the tax burden always seems to fall down on the middle class. The poorest among us don't make enough money to pay a lot of income tax. They still pay taxes. Yep. You know, they still pay the sales taxes, the gas taxes, and anything else they have down here. But the middle class bears the brunt of it. And we need to get back to a fair tax system that, you know, taxes everybody fairly. And another thing, I am all in on women's reproductive rights. I think we have to get back to, I mean, the government has no business getting between a woman and a doctor on what health care she needs. And I understand the argument from the pro-life group. I do. I understand that. But again, and it's a religious issue to me, that it's people's religion that dictate that. And what we're doing is we're allowing one person's religious views to dictate what somebody else does. And that's a very slippery road to go down. I mean, that's why the framers of the Constitution put that separation of church and state in place, because they knew their European history. They knew the bloodbath that was European history through the 17th, 18th, and 19th centuries. They knew what it was and what problems they had by mixing religion and politics. And I think that's a road we're going down that I think we're going to be very sorry that we did. And but again, I think that's a woman's choice and her family and between her and the doctor and her family. I don't think anyone else, me or a politician or somebody in a suit, has a right to tell them what they have to do. I mean, they're forcing 10-year-old little girls that are raped to have children. I mean, that's, you know, it's just it shouldn't happen to me. It should not happen.
Well, we just are just about out of time, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
It went by quick. Yes, it did. Absolutely. Where can people find more information about yourself?
Okay, my website is FDRII4Mo.com. I'm all over social media. You can find me there. I'm on TikTok. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, all those places. But, yeah, the best place to start would be on my website, FDRII4Mo.com.
Appreciate your time. Thank you so much for coming in.
Well, thank you, Ron, for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Franklin Delano Roth II, again, running for Congress in the 8th District as a Democrat. And, of course, the primary is coming up in just a couple of weeks. He joins us here this morning on KJFF. This has been The Newsmakers.